Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. On today's show, opening day has been postponed. We warned you about that earlier this week. The roster has been set. There's new food items at Yankee Stadium. And it's Way Back Wednesday. We'll be looking back at a few games on this date in Yankees history. All next on Locked On Yankees.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Yankee fans. It's Stacey Gotsoulias. I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. You can find Locked On Yankees on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can listen to the show on every available podcasting platform, including Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. We hit 1,000 subscribers today. Thank you so much for that. We're going to have a giveaway. We'll let you know next week what we're giving away. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So let me start by saying thank you for getting us to 1,000 subscribers. That's awesome. And I didn't think we'd ever do it. You know, 1,000's a pretty big deal. So thank you for doing that. I started doing YouTube, when did I start? Late July. So it took about 8 months to get us there. And, you know, the season's starting, so maybe we'll get more subscribers once the season kicks into gear. Again, the season is delayed a day, thanks to Mother Nature. But I will say that the forecast is better than it was Monday, when we were talking about the game possibly being postponed. It looked like Friday was going to be questionable as well, but I looked at my weather app this morning, and now it looks like Friday is going to be partly sunny and 61, at least where I am in Rockland County, which means it'll be closer to 65 at the stadium, so it's going to be a lovely opening day. I believe the policy is, if, you know, I recall correctly, because I've had some opening days snowed out and rained out, one opening day, the last opening day at the old stadium. We were there for, what, 3-4 hours waiting for the rain to stop, and it just wouldn't. And then they announced that the game wasn't going to be played, and they rescheduled it for the next evening. And I think it was 2003 when the snow happened, right? And then the Hideki Matsui Grand Slam happened the next day, and it was freezing. So, yeah, pretty sure that if you have tickets for tomorrow, they're good for Friday. If you can't make it Friday, I'm sure you can exchange them for something good. Just not as good as opening day. Oh, well, I mean, what are you going to do? So, yeah, Mother Nature is like, no, we know that you're excited about baseball starting, but no, it's not happening Thursday. And that kind of screws with MLB, because I believe the Yankees and the Cubs were going to be the only teams on national TV. Is that how it was working? And now the Yes Network is going to show the game on Friday. It's a 1:05 start. So, yeah, I mean, it goes with what's been happening this year with the lockout. And again, Mother Nature's like, no, you're not having baseball yet. Now, speaking of opening day and the team, everyone is in New York. Actually, Gleyber Torres posted an Instagram story last night of himself in a car in the passenger side driving through Times Square. Now, that's how you know these guys aren't real New Yorkers, because real New Yorkers would avoid Times Square as much as possible. You know. The only people who don't avoid Times Square are the people who have to work there. You know, people who work at the Viacom building, worked for MTV. You kind of had to be there. But if you didn't have to be in Times Square, people would walk 20 minutes out of their way to avoid Times Square. Yeah, I always find that amusing, and I thought it was funny, but I was excited because that meant that everyone was here, and they are. There are pictures, and, you know, they were supposed to work out today. I don't know how much working out they did, because the weather is already starting to get rainy and not great. So tomorrow's going to be a complete washout, according to my weather app. 100% chance of rain. It's just going to rain all day. So I'm sure the Yankee Stadium drainage system will be kicking in, and they may have to do their workouts indoors in the indoor batting cages. And, you know, Yankee Stadium is set up pretty nicely, so they can still get some stuff done tomorrow. But it is a big bummer when you wait this whole time and the season's delayed a week because of the lockout and then nothing. So the roster is set, which is exciting. So it's 16 pitchers, 12 positional players. Marwin Gonzalez is going to be part of the three-man bench. He hit 3 home runs, drove in 10 runs. And, you know, he plays several positions on the field. So that's the kind of guy you want. Even if they don't hit that well, you want at least a body that can play defensively multiple positions. So I don't mind Marwin Gonzalez taking a spot on the roster. I know some people had an issue with it, but I don't, you know. Clark Schmidt also made the opening day roster. Okay. Ron Marinaccio. I feel really bad when I screw up people's last names because as Abby and I were talking about on Monday, we both have last names that people screw up all the time, and I make it a point to try and pronounce people's names as correctly as I can. So if I said that really wrong, I'm so sorry. But he made the opening day roster, and J.P. Sears also made the opening day roster. Wait a minute. Okay, the Yankees just posted a picture, or maybe a little while ago, and I didn't know who the three guys were in the picture, but now I'm thinking it's Sears, Clark, and yeah, hold on. I'll show you. I'll show the people on YouTube. The people who are listening, I apologize that I can't show you because you're listening. But if you're on YouTube, I believe those are the three guys. Okay. Because when I saw the picture, I didn't know who the hell they were. I'll admit that. You know, it's not that easy to keep track of all these guys on the team. You know, there are certain guys you know, obviously, you know, the ones who play all the time. And then you have the fringe players who you're just kind of like, oh, that's what they look like? Okay. And I don't know if it's the Mandela effect, because I know that works with names and places and, you know, people screwing up logos. Like, they don't realize that Kit Kat has... Does Kit Kat have a dash or does Kit Kat not have a dash? People don't realize that Fruit Loops is spelled with 2 O's and not fruit. It's not F-R-U-I-T. It's fruit, like root. Yeah. Oh, hi. My co-host just came into the picture. And what else is happening? Oh, Clark Schmidt. This is very exciting. He won the James P. Dawson Award, which is given annually to the most outstanding Yankees rookie in spring training. He also won that award in 2020. He's 26 years old, went 1-1 with a 3.86 ERA in 3 appearances. He made 2 starts. He led all Yankees pitchers with 11 strikeouts in 9 1/3 innings, and he was one of their first round picks, and that was back in 2017. He was the 16th pick overall. I believe wasn't he recovering from something then too? Tommy John, possibly, I think, is what that was. So yeah, the roster is set. He won the rookie award. They're all in New York. Things are happening. And Miguel Castro made his debut for the Yankees and, let's see, struck out 2 in 1 inning against the Tigers in their 5-3 loss yesterday. He went 3-4 with a 3.45 ERA in 69 appearances with the Mets last season. He held batters to a 189 average. I like that move. I said it the other day on the show with Abby. I like that move. I think it's good. You know, the Yankees could always use more pitching. And it's always funny when the Yankees and the Mets make an exchange because it doesn't happen too often. So, okay. Before we discuss this, I have to tell you that you need to listen to Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. He and I have decided that we might do crossovers either every 2 weeks or at least once a month because he said that he gets a lot of traction when he talks about Yankees prospects. So listen to his show when you can. It's free and available on all platforms. But also keep in mind that we're going to do crossovers, and you'll get to hear Lindsay's opinions on a lot of the guys who are down in the lower levels. So look out for that this season. Also, another programming note, the opening day preview will be up tomorrow, and we are recording a crossover, Abby and myself, with Jake and Lauren of Locked On Red Sox. So that should be fun. Hopefully it'll be as peaceful as the AL East crossover roundtable that aired yesterday. If you watched it on YouTube, you could tell we were all very pleasant with each other. And if you listened to it, you could hear that we were pleasant with each other. Okay. A very important announcement was made. Halal guys. If you're a New Yorker, you know who they are. They're going to be selling stuff at Yankee Stadium. As a Greek, I'm very excited about this. They're going to have beef gyro platter, a chicken platter, a combo platter, a beef gyro. I'm saying gyro, even though it's hero. That's how you're supposed to say it. But everyone knows it as a gyro. Chicken sandwich and a combo sandwich. There's also going to be a chopped cheese salad? Wait a minute. No. Sandwich. Okay. Ooh. Yeah, these all sound really good. I'm very excited about this. Okay. Not that excited because, you know, it's not very healthy to eat gyros, but every time you go to Yankee Stadium. But then again, I don't know about you, but I don't always sit in my seats when I'm at Yankee Stadium. I tend to walk around and I'll watch the game from other vantage points. So I kind of get exercise in while I'm at Yankee Stadium, but I am very excited about this. Now, the only bad thing is a lot of people like this stuff. And one of my friends made a joke that the line for Halal Guys is going to be as bad as Shake Shack at Citi Field. Which, if you've been to Citi Field and you've waited in the line at Shake Shack, you know that you usually miss, I would say, at least 3 innings of a game, possibly 4 or 5, depending on how bad the line is. And people will wait in that line. They don't care because, you know, having good food at a baseball game is kind of expensive. No, having good food at a baseball game is kind of important. You don't want to have bad food. You want something good. It'll make the experience better. So, yeah, that's some new stuff happening at Yankee Stadium. That makes me want to go to more games now. I'll admit it. I love that stuff. So, as I said, it is way back Wednesday because, you know, we're into April now and we can look back at games from the actual date. And I looked at 87, 97, 2002, 2007. There were a couple of anniversaries in there that the Yankees didn't play. Either it was an off day or... No, I don't think there's any instance where the season hadn't started yet, because that's pretty late. Although there were some seasons that started on April 8th. So that is a possibility when you're looking back at box scores from the past. So let's look at 87. This was a pretty quiet game. But the players are the ones that are important because, you know, I love doing this. This is so much fun. It was Monday, April 6th, 1987. If I recall correctly, Bon Jovi played a concert at the Brendan Byrne Arena on April 6th, 1987. And I remember being mad because I didn't have tickets for it. I will look that up in a bit, but I think I'm correct on that. Why do I remember this stuff? I don't know. Anyway, the Yankees were at Tiger Stadium. The attendance was 51,315. The game was 3 hours, 1 minute long. Here are your Yankees, the lineup. Ricky Henderson, center field. Willie Randolph, second base. Don Mattingly, first base. Gary Ward, DH. Gary Ward, oh my goodness. Dave Winfield, right field. Dan Pasqua, left field. Mike Paliarulo, third base. Joel Skinner, catcher. Oh my God. Wayne Tolleson, shortstop. And Dennis Rasmussen, your pitcher. Oh my God. I'm having flashbacks to the 87 Yankees. Anyone else around my age or older having flashbacks? For the Tigers, Lou Whitaker at second. Larry Herndon, there we go, left field. Chet Lemon, center field. Alan Trammell, shortstop, Darnell Coles, third base, Terry Harper, DH, Darrell Evans, first base, Mike Heath, right field, Orlando Mercado, catcher. And Jack Morris was your starting pitcher. This is amazing. Wow. Unbelievable. Joe Brinkman was your home plate umpire. Terry Cooney, first base. Mike Riley, second base. Tim Welke, third base. Because Tim Welke was an umpire forever. Now, this was actually a pretty quiet game. Not a lot of scoring. You know, the pitchers lasted a while. Let's see. Dave Winfield is the one that got the star. Let's try that again. Dave Winfield is the one that got the scoring started for the Yankees in the top of the fourth. Willie Randolph led off with a fly ball. Don Mattingly hit a ground out. So Jack Morris had two outs. Gary Ward hit a single to center field. Dave Winfield hit one to third base. Let's see. It says ground ball to the pitcher's right. Ward scores. How on earth? Oh, advances on an E5. Okay. So there was an E5 and he made it. He scored. Winfield made it to second. And then Dan Pasqua hit a pop fly. So Yankees were up 1-0 at that point. Now, yeah, they both pitched well, Morris and Rasmussen. You know, they got a few 1-2-3 innings thrown in there back to back. And, you know, both teams didn't do much. Bottom of the sixth, Larry Herndon hit a home run to lead off the inning to make it 1-1. And then Rasmussen quickly rebounded and got Lemon to hit a fly ball to left, Trammell to hit a fly ball to center, and Coles to hit a fly ball to center. Now, the Yankees ended up winning the game 2-1 thanks to Ricky Henderson in the 10th inning. Now, at this point, Jack Morris was still in the game. You don't see that too often these days at all. Rasmussen was replaced in the bottom of the 8th by Dave Rigetti, which was normal in 1987. So, top of the 10th, Dan Pasqua hits a fly ball to short. Mike Paliarulo grounds out to the first baseman who throws it to the pitcher. Okay, that makes sense. Claudel Washington hits for Joel Skinner. He hits a single to right. Wayne Tolleson hits a single to right. And then Henderson hits the double to right that scores Claudel Washington. Willie Randolph walked. Then Willie Hernandez replaced Jack Morris pitching. So Morris got the loss. Then Don Mattingly hit a fly ball to center field for the third out. Yankees are up 2-1. Then, let's see, Rick Cerrone replaces Claudel Washington, and he's the catcher because Joel Skinner was catching. Lou Whitaker strikes out looking. Larry Herndon grounds out to second. Chet Lemon hits a fly ball to right field off Rigetti. Yankees win 2-1. Woo, exciting. Some of those names, though, that's funny. And Jack Morris, felt like that guy pitched for ever. Even though I don't think he really pitched forever, but yeah, those were the days, huh? I mean, he pitched until the 10th inning. That's not, you know, that is not common at all. That doesn't happen. It's very rare to see anything like that happen. It's rare if you see a guy last 5 innings these days for some teams. It's just the way it is. Baseball changes. It's not going to be the same way it was 35 years ago. Yes, 1987 was 35 years ago. That's right. We're in 2022. And this year I'm getting healthier. I work out all the time. I do. I actually just worked out before I started recording the show. And thanks to Built Bar, I can be even healthier. Have you tried their puffs? If you haven't, you're missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars. Built Bar puffs are the first ever protein infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy. They're not just a protein bar, they're a treat, and they're covered in 100% chocolate. They're a fan favorite with some incredible flavors, including churro, coconut marshmallow, and banana cream pie. And if you try them, they will be your favorite as well. All Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. That's 100% real chocolate. They're low calorie, high protein. You can replace your candy bars with them because they're just as good taste-wise. Flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, raspberry, everything is good. And they come out with new flavors all the time, and if they think a flavor might be good, they'll make it, and they'll figure out a way to make it good for you. So go to Built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Doesn't matter which order it is, if it's your first, your 50th, or your 500th. Again, use our promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. So let's look at another game from the past. Let's go to 97. We'll do it in order. Why not? So this time they played Oakland in Oakland. And in that year, April 6th, 1997, was a Sunday. There were only 22,124 people in, what is it called now? It's not O.co anymore, is it? All these stadiums keep changing their names. Be like Wrigley, Fenway, you know, Camden Yards, Yankee Stadium. Just keep them the same names. Okay, lineups. Now, this is 1997. Okay. Derek Jeter, shortstop. Wade Boggs, third base. Bernie Williams, center field. Tino Martinez, first base. Cecil Fielder, DH. Paul O'Neill, right field. Daryl Strawberry, left field. Mariano Duncan, second base. Joe Girardi is your catcher. David Cohn, friend of the podcast, your starting pitcher. For Oakland, Tony Bautista, shortstop. Was he the one my brother heckled that one time? I believe it was. My brother heckled him for an entire game at Yankee Stadium in 2002. And he didn't know why, because he was sitting on the bench the entire time. That's just the way my brother was. He didn't curse. He was being funny. And Bautista thought it was funny. Scott Brosius, third base. Jose Canseco, right field. Mark McGuire, first base. Geronimo Baroa, oh my God. DH, Jason Giambi, left field. What? Jason Giambi, left field. Ernie Young, center field. I love this. Scott Spezio, second base. George Williams, catcher. Oh, Dave Teigheader, pitcher. I don't remember that name. I do remember most of the other names, though. That's funny. Your umpires, Ken Kaiser at home, Joe Brinkman, again, first base, second base, Daryl Cousins, third base, Tim Welke. What? Okay. 10 years apart, same date, Yankee game. That's, wow, Tim Welke. What about you? That's amazing. Oh, they have the weather here. Let's see. 57 degrees, no precipitation. That's a word. That's the word I was looking for. Hoy. No scoring happened until the bottom of the eighth. And that's when the Athletics scored all three of their runs. The Yankees did not score anything that game. And the runs didn't start for Oakland until David Cohn was replaced by Jeff Nelson. So it's Jeff Nelson's fault and Mike Stanton, but mostly Jeff Nelson. George Williams hit a double. Tony Bautista hit a single. Scott Brosius lined out. Jose Canseco reached on an E5. And then Rafael Bornegal pinch ran for George Williams after he hit that double. So he scored on the E5 that happened when Canseco hit the ball. Bautista made it to third. Canseco made it to second. They intentionally walked Mark McGuire. Geronimo Baroa struck out swinging. So there were two outs. Then Mike Stanton replaced Jeff Nelson. You know what? It's not really their fault. It happened on two errors. Errors. So I apologize to Jeff Nelson and Mike Stanton. My bad. Jason Giambi reached on an E3. Bautista scores. Canseco scores. McGuire makes it to third. Then David Weathers comes in to replace Mike Stanton. Damon Mashore. While he was up, Weathers threw a wild pitch. Giambi made it to second. Mashore walked. Then Scott Spezio hit a fly ball to right field. So the A's are up 3-0 at that point. And then the Yankees go down 1-2-3 in the bottom of the ninth. Or top of the ninth against Billy Taylor. Paul O'Neill hits a fly ball to left. Daryl Strawberry grounds out to, let's see, first baseman to pitcher. Oh, okay, the pitcher had to cover first. And then Mariano Duncan hit a ground out to short. The Yankees lose 3-0. Womp, womp. But that's pretty funny that Tim Welke was the umpire for both of those games 10 years apart. If he's in this one in 2002, that would be something. Okay, this was better for the Yankees. Saturday, April 6, 2002, at Yankee Stadium against the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, when they were still called the Devil Rays. Jason Tyner, left field, Randy Winn, center field, Steve Cox, first base, Greg Vaughn, DH, Toby Hall, catcher, Ben Grieve, right field, Brent Abernathy, second base, Bob Smith, third base, Chris Gomez, shortstop, Wilson Alvarez is your starter for the Devil Rays. Do you remember those guys? I do, even though it was 20 years ago. Yankees, Alfonso Soriano, second base, Derek Jeter, shortstop, Jason Giambi, DH, Bernie Williams, center field, Rondell White, left field, Ron Coomer, third base, Shane Spencer, right field, Nick Johnson, first base, Alberto Castillo, catcher, and El Duque, Orlando Hernandez, is your starting pitcher. Oh, no Tim Welke this time. Bruce Fremming at home plate. Home plate. Yeah, I almost said home base. Someone said home base on The Real Housewives of New Jersey last night, and that was in my head. And I'm like, it's not home base, it's home plate. Okay. Ed Rapuano, first base. Larry Poncino, second base. Tony Randazzo, third base. What the hell? That's, why couldn't they have gotten an Italian for home plate? That would have made it so much funnier. The attendance was only 39,093. Oh, because it was 41 degrees at the start of the game. That's miserable. And who, all right, no offense to the Tampa Bay Devil Rays of 2002, but I'm telling you right now, no one would want to sit in 41 degree weather to watch the Yankees play the Devil Rays. So I understand why there wasn't even 40,000 people there. So I get it. Now this game, the Yankees scored first in the bottom of the second on a Ron Coomer home run. Yeah. Then in the bottom of the fourth, Rondell White grounded out. Coomer hit a single. Shane Spencer hit a single. Nick Johnson hit a single that scored Coomer. That made it 2-0 Yankees. And then in the bottom of the fifth, Rondell White hit a single that scored Derek Jeter. Made it 3-0, and that's how it would end. Let's see, did the Devil Rays make it interesting against Mo in the ninth inning? They kind of did, yeah. Now, El Duque pitched through the top of the eighth, and then Mo came in for the top of the ninth. He gave up a single to Jason Tyner, Randy Winn grounded out, Steve Cox hit a single, Winn made it to third. It's not that interesting, they were up 3-0. And then Greg Vaughn struck out looking, and Toby Hall struck out looking to end the game. So, yeah, Yankees win, 3-0. Woohoo! Against the Tampa Bay Devil Rays of 2002. And then one more. Let's quickly look at 2007. I believe the Yankees lost this game. Mike Mussina. Yeah, against Baltimore. Friday, April 6, 2007. 50,074 people at Old Yankee Stadium. Yeah. Baltimore, Brian Roberts, second base, Melvin Mora, third base, Nick Markakis, right field, Miguel Tejada, shortstop, Aubrey Huff, first base, Jay Gibbons, left field, Kevin Millar, DH, Corey Patterson, center field, Paul Bacco, or Bacco? Catcher. Adam Loewen was your starting pitcher for Baltimore. For the Yankees, Melky Cabrera, center field, Derek Jeter, shortstop, Bobby Abreu, right field, Alex Rodriguez, third base, Jason Giambi, DH, Hideki Matsui, left field, Jorge Posada, catching, Robinson Cano, second base, Josh Phelps, first base, and then Moose, as I said. Umpires, damn, no Tim Welke, Marvin Hudson, home plate, Ed Montague, first base, Jerry Lane, second base, Bill Miller, third base. It was also 41 degrees that night, but it was a little better to watch Baltimore in 2007 than to watch the Tampa Bay Devil Rays in 2002. That Baltimore lineup wasn't that bad that I just read. They scored off Moose right away. 2007, was that the year that Moose had a lot of issues, right? And then he recovered in 08 and had his first 20-win season in his last year and got his 20th win on the last day or during his last start, because I don't remember if he pitched the last day or the second to last day of that season. I have to look that up. But anyway, Brian Roberts started things off with a double to center field. Brian Roberts was a pain in the rear end back then with the Orioles. Melvin Mora hit a single. Nick Markakis hit a double that scored both Roberts and Mora. The Orioles are up 2-0 at that point. Now, the Yankees tied the game in the bottom of the second thanks to a Hideki Matsui single that scored A-Rod and a Robinson Cano double that scored Matsui. So it was 2-2. But then the Orioles came right back in the top of the third and made it 5-2. Nick Markakis started things off with a double. Mike Mussina hit Miguel Tejada with a pitch. Aubrey Huff hit a ground out that they could only get him out. So Markakis made it to third, Tejada to second. Jay Gibbons hit a single. Markakis and Tejada both score. Kevin Millar walks. Corey Patterson hits a double that scores Gibbons. And then Baco and Roberts strike out swinging and looking. It's 5-2. In the top of the fourth, the Orioles go up 6-2 thanks to an Aubrey Huff single that scores Melvin Mora. Robinson Cano makes it 6-3 with a single in the bottom of the sixth that scores Hideki Matsui. Jorge Posada hit a single in the bottom of the seventh that scored Jeter to make it 6-4, but that's how it would end. The Yankees did nothing in the bottom of the ninth against Chris Ray. Bobby Abreu lined out to left, A-Rod lined out to center, and then Jason Giambi hit a fly ball to right field, and the Yankees dropped the game. Womp womp. So, yeah, those are your looks back in Yankees history on April 6th. Hello? What? It's not April 3rd. April 3rd was the other day. So, opening day postponed. It's okay. Like I said, weather's going to be better on Friday anyway. It'll be more pleasant for the players. It'll be more pleasant for whoever is there. It'll be more pleasant to watch. You won't have any danger of anything being delayed or anything like that. So, good. More food options at Yankee Stadium. Some really good food options. The roster is set. The guys that are in New York, we're almost there. We are almost at the finish line. That little pinprick that we saw at the end of the tunnel in February when we thought the lockout was going to last forever is really big. So we're almost there. So it's very exciting. Again, one more reminder. Tomorrow's episode is going to be a crossover with Locked On Red Sox. Abby and I are recording with them tonight. We're going to preview the opening series. It should be a good one. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. Once again, thank you so much for getting us to 1,000 subscribers. Next stop 2000. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Now make your second listen of the day Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, both past and present, and it's free and available wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. So enjoy your Wednesday, and we will talk to you tomorrow. We'll be right back.